For almost 40 years, DR Power Equipment has been the go-to for homeowners who want professional-level outdoor power equipment. Whether you're managing acres of overgrown fields or just want to have the best lawn on the block, DR Power has everything you need to conquer your piece of the outdoors. Visit drpower.com today to learn more and shop the sale.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Speaking on this show, DUP leader Geoffrey Donaldson said if Mary Lou MacDonald felt that Irish unity was within touching distance, she must have the longest arms in Ireland. Well, the question of Irish unity is one that has come to the fore in recent times with the return of power sharing in Stormont, the rise of Sinn Féin on both sides of the border, and of course Brexit. But a new study has shown that Northern Ireland's UK counterparts, England, Wales and Scotland, would all be in favour of Irish unity. Now, joining me to talk about the possibilities are Belfast-based journalist Amanda Ferguson, who's with me here in Antrim, and Deirdre Heenan, Professor of Social Policy at the University of Ulster, who's on the line. Deirdre, good morning.
Good morning.
Now, before we talk about the possible unification of the island of Ireland at some point in the future, I just want to go to Amanda on that breaking story about a kidnapping that may have happened in Belfast and had its denouement on the M50 in Dublin.
That's right. Four men have been arrested and a firearm has been seized following a Garda operation in Dublin last night, during which a man who was reported kidnapped in Belfast was found safe and well. So the guards were informed by the PSNI about a suspected kidnapping incident in Belfast, after which a containment operation was launched. So a Garda car intercepted a car on the M50 at the junction for Ballymun shortly before 10 last night, and four men who were in the car were arrested at the scene and are being held at Garda stations in the Dublin region, and a fifth man in the car who had been reported missing in Belfast has been found safe and well. So the firearm recovered from the vehicle will be subject to ballistic examination. And again, it just highlights that sort of ongoing investigations and the liaising that takes place between the guards and the PSNI.
Yeah, which is interesting in itself. We don't know as yet of the identity of the kidnapped individual, now liberated, and what, you know, motivation there might be. You can speculate all you like, whether it's a relic of the Troubles, a paramilitary legacy, whether it's drug-related, gang-related. We simply don't know, or whether it's simply all about money.
Yeah, cash demands.
That'll come out in the wash, I'm sure.
The crime and security correspondents will be on the job to get the detail out to people later in the day, I'd imagine.
OK, but that is the breaking story. Well, now, we'll go to you, Deirdre, first of all, a professor of social policy at the University of Ulster, to talk about whether or not this information from the survey on from Scotland, England and Wales, indicating that there would be a majority in those areas individually and therefore collectively for a united Ireland, does that change anything?
No, I don't think it changes anything. I don't think it surprises many people. I think when we talk about a united Ireland, often we discuss it in the context of this island. But if we discuss it in a broader context, the context of the United Kingdom, then we wouldn't be surprised to know that there is pressure in the United Kingdom, within the United Kingdom. Obviously, Scotland have had a long campaign to gain their independence. But also, I think really what has happened here is the rise of English nationalism. And we saw that very clearly during the Brexit debates, where England are saying that they should have an English parliament for an English people. And there is a view that, of course, there are only two regions in the United Kingdom that are actually financially secure and that they subsidise other regions, and a growing belief that the devolved areas are actually, you know, an economic burden. And why wouldn't they go their own ways? So the whole idea of a United Kingdom and the idea that you're stronger together is being challenged. And of course, it was clear to us in neon lights what many people in the United Kingdom, and particularly the ruling then Conservative government, thought of us, thought of Northern Ireland. Remember, famously, Dominic Cummings said, and he was the key advisor to Boris Johnson, said he'd be happy if we fell into the sea. So I think the idea that we are valued and cherished has been brought into question. And all of this in the context of Brexit and the rise of English nationalism. Brexit had a profound impact on the island of Ireland. It put the constitutional question back on the table. Before Brexit, Irish unity was rarely discussed. It was something that might happen sometime in the future, maybe 50 years away, maybe longer.
But it has to be said that within the EU, all the differences were slowly being subsumed. no border, free trade north and south, no obstacles, no border checkpoints and so on. Okay, there were differences in jurisdictional control and so on and so forth. But in terms of everyday life, it might as well have been a united island.
Absolutely right. So after the Good Friday Agreement, the constitutional question had been largely parked. People had the choice to be British, Irish or whatever they wanted to be, that they could live in peaceful coexistence. I mean, the idea that the old foes, for example, that Ian Paisley and Martin McGuinness could share a power, that was unthinkable just 10 years before it happened. So it looked like we were going to have a period of peaceful coexistence. But everything changed with Brexit. The constitutional question was thrown up in the air. No one knew where the pieces would land, and no one really seemed to have given a huge amount of thought as to what the implications would be. So when we look at the existential issues around Irish unity, I mean, Brexit will be writ large in the history of this island and the impact that it's had in terms of us leaving the EU, but also having, as you said, the cover of being citizens of the EU and how that gave us a different identity, an identity that we could all be part of.
Amanda?
Well, the Good Friday Agreement's very clear that Northern Ireland is a conditional part of the United Kingdom for as long as people want it to be, and it will be up to the people on the island of Ireland to decide the future. So while it's interesting to hear what's happening in Scotland and England and Wales, and it's probably a bit more worrying to unionists, it doesn't have any sort of real material difference to what happens whenever it comes to border poll day. I think that the 1998 Good Friday Agreement largely ended violence in this particular jurisdiction, but it is still a contested place. There are still people who live here who don't have a British identity, who have always wanted to have Irish unity. They may not necessarily be Sinn Féin voters. They could be SDLP voters, People Before Profit, Workers' Party, some Green voters and some Alliance. So I think that certainly while the conversations around Irish unity have accelerated post-Brexit, they have always been there in the background. And perhaps in the modern era, people feel freer to have those discussions and we see different interest groups
emerging.
Going
back to the point I made, Amanda, about why Irish unity became less of an imperative within the EU. Then Brexit, if you like, put some sort of a wedge that hadn't been there, had been eliminated with the Good Friday Agreement and with all the common laws and so on of the EU. But Brexit hammered that wedge back in.
Yeah, I think so. And, you know, obviously the EU has a great affection for Ireland. Both jurisdictions, like the US administration, they have a stake and a role in the peace process. So whenever Brexit happened, it was just this earthquake that nobody wanted. Obviously in the north, people voted to remain within the EU, but because it was a UK-wide vote that it was carried, and that disrupted a lot of people, and it made them think a lot about their European identity and what they were actually voting for and what dispensation they were part of. And I think that all those conversations are continuing and accelerating. And whenever you hear from groups like Ireland's Future or the New Ireland Commission or Together UK or Let's Talk Loyalism, the constitutional question has never been on the table more than it is now. And something that I'm saying as a reporter and the people that I'm talking to is that there is a lot more freedom in how people are talking about this particular conversation. It's not in hushed tones. It's not worrying too much about perhaps about unionist sensitivities. And I think that's just something that's going to increase.
Now, Deirdre, the question of Sinn Féin in power and taking the job of First Minister, which of course has the same status theoretically as Deputy First Minister, but still significant in its symbolism, Sinn Féin being in charge, if you like, in Northern Ireland, the possibility of Sinn Féin being in charge in the Republic following the next election, how does that change the debate and the discussion?
Well, I think only a fool would dismiss the impact of having Sinn Féin in power north and south in this island and what that might mean, for example, for Irish unity and the Irish unity question. But I think we shouldn't over-egg the pudding. I was in Washington this week with the First and Deputy First Minister. There was no mention of a border poll. There was very little mention of Irish unity. It was about making Northern Ireland work. It was about bread and butter issues. It was talking about health waiting lists, education system, our infrastructure, how we could improve the quality of life for people on this island. And also in the Republic of Ireland, the number one issue isn't Irish unity. It's housing. It's homelessness. It's getting on the housing ladder. And a lot of Sinn Féin support is because of disaffection with the current administration and the fact that people cannot get on the housing ladder So yes, of course, it will mean that it has a different dynamic, but I don't think we should over-egg the pudding. I disagree with Amanda when she says it doesn't really matter what happens in the other parts of the United Kingdom. It does matter. If, for example, Scottish independence had have happened, that would have changed the whole dynamic of the United Kingdom. So, of course, people are watching carefully to see what's happening in the United Kingdom and across this island, because sometimes what happens here is not directly related to us. It's wider events. And we didn't see Brexit coming, didn't see the impact of Brexit coming. But I think we shouldn't lose sight of the fact that in Northern Ireland, ARENS, which is analysing and researching Ireland North and South, in their most recent polling in Northern Ireland, just 27% said yes for a united Ireland, and no was 50%, with 18% being undecided. So even after those years of toxic Brexit negotiations, even after Sinn Féin have come to power, we are not on the wave of fervent nationalism. It is not the number one issue. Yes, I agree that it's been spoken about in a way that it wasn't spoken about before, that it's no longer in hushed tones, but it would be wrong to say that it's the issue, the number one issue on people's lips. People here are concerned about their quality of life. They're concerned about their access to health services. They're worried about waiting lists. Sure. They want an economic future for them and their children. The difference is...
People became...
DR Power Equipment is the industry leader in field and brush mowers. Their full line of machines are designed to clear acres of tough weeds, woody brush, and saplings up to 3 inches thick, hour after hour, year after year. Just one mow, and you'll agree nothing stops a DR. Visit drpower.com to learn more and shop the sale today.
As I discovered recently, Deirdre, in talking to many people, movers and shakers in Northern Ireland, people were frustrated here at the stasis that was happening when the executive wasn't there. Never mind the money that was going to come through from Westminster once power sharing was resumed, but just that a sense of inactivity, that nothing was going on that needed to go on, that in some way Northern Ireland was missing the boat.
Yeah, but also, I think people were... Sorry.
A lot of people did see Brexit coming, and a lot of alarm bells were signalled, and they were ignored by the UK government and by unionists within Northern Ireland. And in the context of the two first ministers being in Washington, they're there as the executive office, which is why they're there to talk about investment. And it's separately that you will hear Michelle O'Neill talking about Gaza, because it's not an agreed position between the DUP mm-hmm. and Sinn Féin on those particular issues. I think whenever we're talking about what's happening next, of course everybody has an interest, and of course there are lots of different issues that are at play, but you're seeing people engaging in the conversations around what's happening in the future in a way that they haven't before. And I think the Stormont dysfunction feeds into that, because we had the impasse between 2017 and 2020, then of course we were straight into the COVID pandemic, economic crisis, cost of living crisis, energy crisis, another 2 year impasse, and people are really looking at the fact that worst waiting lists in the UK, what is Stormont actually delivering for people, and all of the areas of life that are suffering because of the stop-start system of government we have, which is why you're seeing the Alliance Party and others calling for reform, which is backed by...
Do either of you detect any differences between the approach in Sinn Féin in the Republic and Sinn Féin in Northern Ireland? I mean, you've got Mary Lou MacDonald wistfully looking at that fourth green field within touching distance, and then perhaps Michelle O'Neill taking a different emphasis, you know, going to Windsor Park, being First Minister for all the people. Is there a difference? Is it nuance? Is it tactics?
Yeah, it's definitely nuance, and it takes into consideration the fact that partition has happened, that there are two jurisdictions on this island, that there are different competing issues that are at play. Of course, all of those things feed into it, but I think that the difference that I would have perhaps with Deirdre in the analysis of this is that if Sinn Féin is poised to enter government in the Republic of Ireland, that is a game changer for the political landscape on this island, because they're the only major party with electoral presence in both jurisdictions, and because the British government and the Irish government are co-guarantors of the Good Friday Agreement, which was brokered by the US, they have that particular role that up to this point the UK government has dealt with Fianna Fáil or Fine Gael ministers, who of course they want unity as well, but they're a little more reserved on it, and the shared island unit is a little less in your face perhaps than Sinn Féin position that they have to take. So all of that is feeding into what may happen next, and if that does does, even if the polling is to be believed and Sinn Féin does enter government in the Republic of Ireland, then you will see, you know, perhaps a DFA minister based in Dublin coming up to Belfast to meet a colleague from the same party. So it changes, you know, psychologically what may happen next. And there are a lot of conversations to happen between now and border poll day. But I think that it's probably closer than some people would like to think.
Deirdre?
I think things have changed. What I see in terms of the change is our First Minister, Michelle O'Neill, now openly talking about making Northern Ireland work. And of course, there was always a cynicism in Northern Ireland that Sinn Féin were in government, but really not interested in making Northern Ireland work and referring to it as a failed state, indeed not referring to Northern Ireland at all. I think there's now a realisation that Northern Ireland has to work, that we have to address issues of quality of life. We have to make it a place where people choose to work and live, because if there's going to be reunification, this has to be an attractive place to want to be part of. It is important to say that analysis of polling over the past 5 years indicates no clear change in support for United Ireland. But enough time has passed for us to discuss it, to think about what it might look like. But the gap will not close by Catholics outnumbering Protestants. Thankfully, we've moved away from that sectarian headcount type of analysis. Attitudes have to change. In the North, it's no longer about Protestants and Catholics, and never the twain shall meet. We are now living in a position where we have not two tribes, but three minorities. And that is the change. And that is the change what will decide the future of this island, because we now have Catholics, Protestants and the undecided. And the undecided will decide the future of this island. So they have to be convinced that their future lies either better within the United Kingdom or within a United Ireland.
Deirdre, thank you very much for joining us. Deirdre Heenan, Professor of Social Policy at the University of Ulster. Final words from you, Amanda?
Yeah, I just think that we're dividing along 40-40-20 lines within Northern Ireland. 40% Unionist, 40% Republican, 20% other. But within that other, there are people who are British Unionists, people who are Irish Republicans, people who could be persuaded either way on the constitutional position, and people who aren't that bothered. So it's going to be that cohort that is really important in the time ahead.
All right, Amanda Ferguson, Belfast-based journalist. Thank you very much for joining us.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
For almost 40 years, DR Power Equipment has been the go-to for homeowners who want professional level outdoor power equipment. Whether you're managing acres of overgrown fields or just want to have the best lawn on the block, DR Power has everything you need to conquer your piece of the outdoors. Visit drpower.com today to learn more and shop the sale.